All right. You ready to dive in again? I think this one's going to be really fascinating.
I think so too.
You've kind of steered us this time into a 19th century American evangelicalism,
Yeah.
which is really interesting to me, and specifically the life of Dwight L. Moody.
T.L. Moody.
And you've given us some really rich sources,
Yes.
most notably Dr. Roger Green's lectures on American Christianity.
Excellent source.
And our mission today, I think, is to kind of extract the most interesting insights
Okay.
from these materials
Yeah.
about who Moody was, what he achieved,
Right.
and the world that he operated in.
Right.
So we're not doing a broad sweep of evangelical theology.
Wow.
We're taking a very focused approach.
Yes.
And this time we're going to look at this era
Yeah.
through the lens of a key individual.
Okay.
And we're going to do this by looking at D.L. Moody
Right.
and building on our previous deep dive into Finney,
Yes.
looking at another one of these major figures of the 19th
Yeah.
century.
Well, I think this is, I always say
Yeah.
it's always so insightful to look at the life of someone
Yeah.
because you're seeing the practical outworking of their
Yeah.
faith
Right.
and seeing how those ideas manifest
Okay.
in the life of a real person.
Yeah.
It gives you a much more vivid
Yeah.
understanding
Right.
than simply outlining,
Yeah.
abstract doctrines.
Okay, so let's unpack this
Sure.
and start with something that I think,
Yeah.
if you were coming to D.L. Moody for the first time, you might be very surprised by.
Yeah.
And that's his beginnings,
All
his
right.
rather inauspicious beginnings.
Okay.
And we have this remarkable anecdote
Yeah.
from his Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball,
Okay.
and the initial evaluation by the Mount Vernon Congregational Church in Boston.
All right.
And Kimball apparently recalled
Okay.
that there were few persons whose minds were spiritually darker
Oh, wow.
than was his when he came into my Sunday school class.
Wow.
And then the church committee, they weren't very optimistic either.
Okay.
They said, "We doubt if he will ever have clear and decided views of gospel truth,
Okay.
let alone be of any tremendous public usefulness."
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a
So, the sources really highlight here
Yeah.
that initial appearances can be incredibly deceiving.
Yeah.
And you just, judging someone's future impact
Yeah.
is often impossible.
Yeah.
And Moody's story becomes a very powerful reminder, I think, to
Yeah.
look beyond those immediate impressions.
Yeah, I think the thing that really strikes me here
Yeah.
is just the sheer irony of it all, that
Yeah.
you have this person initially perceived as having a spiritually dark mind,
Right.
unlikely to be of any service,
Right.
ultimately becomes one of the most influential figures
Right.
in 19th century evangelicalism.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, this is a good story for us to think about,
Right. Right.
how difficult it is to foresee someone's potential
Right.
and the transformative power of personal development over time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And get this,
Okay.
he wasn't even granted full membership
Oh.
into the Mount Vernon Congregational Church
Okay.
for an entire year
Hmm.
because the feeling was that he wasn't quite ready. He lacked the heart for it or the mind for it.
Right.
It certainly makes you wonder,
Yeah.
what those initial doubters must have thought
Right.
later on as his influence grew.
Yeah.
Now, the church itself, by the way, was on Beacon Hill
Okay.
in Boston,
Yeah.
a beautiful structure
Okay.
with those classic white columns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a somewhat melancholy historical footnote. The church relocated in the late 1890s.
Okay.
The original building was torn down, and the replacement church on Massachusetts Avenue
Okay.
is now condominiums.
Oh, wow.
Very upscale ones, from what I hear.
Okay.
So a little piece of history
Yeah.
repurposed for modern city living.
I see.
I think it's a bit ironic,
Yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
That a place dedicated to spiritual growth
Right.
is now prime real estate
Yeah.
makes you wonder about the lasting impact of
Yeah.
institutions over time.
And it makes you wonder, too, about the shifting landscape
Right.
of religious life,
Right.
what was once a central pillar of the community. Evolves and adapts,
Right.
sometimes in very unexpected ways.
Yeah.
The evolution of the YMCA,
Right.
which your sources point out later,
Right.
is another fascinating example of that.
Right.
How societal priorities and the role of religious institutions
Yeah.
can change dramatically over time.
Okay, so from this kind of slow burn in Boston,
Yeah.
Moody takes a significant step in 1856 and he moves to Chicago.
Okay.
Now, you might assume that he immediately plunged into religious work.
Right.
But not so.
Okay.
He actually becomes a successful businessman.
Okay.
In the shoe industry.
Interesting.
So maintaining that connection to his Boston background, dealing in shoes.
Okay.
Much like his uncle did. But even while he was building his business,
he
was deeply involved in church life.
Right.
Initially at Plymouth Congregational Church.
Okay.
And this is where we begin to see his true passion really begin to emerge. He became known as a great church recruiter.
Wow.
He was bringing people in,
okay,
particularly to Sunday school.
Okay.
He was a real driving force behind the Sunday school movement, which, as our source notes, had its origins in England.
Right. Yeah. That was an incredibly powerful force in 19th century religious life.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about teaching children Bible story.
Right.
It was a vital tool for evangelism and for shaping the moral values of communities.
Right.
So Moody's early and enthusiastic involvement really signals his deep commitment to reaching people directly with his faith.
And this commitment eventually led to a really pivotal decision. He walks away from his thriving shoe business to dedicate himself fully to Christian work as a layperson.
Okay.
And that's a crucial distinction, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Unlike Finney, who was ordained, Moody operated entirely outside the formal structures of the clergy.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Throughout his entire ministry.
So it makes you think about, you know, how much influence someone could wield outside of formal religious structures.
Right.
And you see echoes of that even today.
Yeah.
In various fields.
Absolutely.
You know, so here's a guy, you know, finding success in the business world.
Right.
But this passion for bringing people to faith, evident in his church recruitment and Sunday school enthusiasm, leads to this major turning point.
Right.
This is really fascinating.
This rise of lay leadership actually was a very significant characteristic, I think.
It really was.
Of 19th century evangelicalism.
Yeah.
It empowered individuals outside of these traditional clerical roles to assume positions of influence and leadership. And Moody's remarkable success as a layperson undoubtedly inspired many others to step out in faith.
Absolutely.
So our source outlines four key pillars of Moody's early ministry.
Okay.
First, Sunday school conventions.
Okay.
Because of his effectiveness in Chicago, he became a highly sought after speaker at these interdenominational gatherings.
Okay.
So think of it as, you know, representatives from various churches coming together to exchange ideas and resources related to Sunday school.
Yeah. And they were exactly that.
Right.
Vibrant hubs of activity.
Right.
And a testament to the widespread enthusiasm for Christian education.
Right.
For children at the time.
Right.
So Moody's prominence within this movement really underscores its significance.
Second, his Civil War ministry.
Okay.
Now, this is particularly interesting. Given his personal identification as a Quaker pacifist, yet he felt a strong calling to minister to the troops, focusing on their spiritual well-being amidst the conflict.
Okay.
Is there a bit of a tension there, perhaps?
It certainly highlights the complexities that individuals faced in navigating their personal beliefs within broader societal events.
Right.
So while holding personal convictions, towards pacifism, Moody clearly felt this pastoral obligation to those in need during a time of great upheaval.
Right.
So it speaks to a pragmatic application of faith in challenging circumstances.
Thirdly, the eventual establishment of his own church in Chicago.
Okay.
We'll delve into that more later.
Yeah.
But it's another clear indicator of his growing influence and his desire to cultivate a specific community centered around his ministry. And finally, fourth, his role as president of the YMCA in Chicago.
Okay.
Now, this might surprise some of you today.
Right.
Because the modern perception of the Y in America is quite different.
Right.
Back then, it was a distinctly evangelical movement aimed at reaching young men in urban environments, many of whom were new to the city, working in industrial jobs, and potentially feeling disconnected from traditional church communities.
Mm-hmm.
So the YMCA provided a space where their social, their physical, and their spiritual needs could be met within a Christian framework.
Yeah. The YMCA's original mission
right.
was deeply intertwined with mm-hmm. evangelicalism. Yeah. It sought to create a supportive
yeah.
and distinctly Christian environment
yeah.
for young men navigating
right.
the often difficult realities
yeah.
of urban life in the 19th century.
Right.
So the contrast with its contemporary image in America,
right.
where it's largely evolved into a secular community organization,
right.
is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
as your sources point out in other parts of the world, mm-hmm. like in Taiwan,
right.
the YMCA continues to maintain
yeah.
a strong evangelistic focus.
That's interesting.
It is a reminder yeah. of how the mission and character of organizations
yeah.
can undergo significant transformations
right.
across time and different cultural contexts.
Fascinating stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So Moody's influence is clearly on the rise domestically.
Yeah.
But then comes the international stage.
Okay.
Between 1873 and 1875.
Okay.
He embarks on highly successful preaching tours in England.
Okay.
And the response is enormous.
Wow.
Thousands upon thousands of people would flock to hear him speak.
Wow.
He even received invitations to preach at prominent churches like Spurgeon's Tabernacle.
Wow.
And City Temple.
Yeah. So building on that growing influence
right.
within America, your sources show that Moody then steps onto
right.
the international stage.
Right.
And that these international tours
right.
become a real turning point.
Right.
They not only expand his reach exponentially,
right.
but also significantly enhance his credibility
right.
and standing upon his return to America.
Right.
So being so warmly received in England,
right.
which was a major intellectual and religious center
right.
of the Protestant world,
right.
really amplifies his reputation back home.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He truly becomes an international evangelist,
right.
making repeated journeys.
Yeah.
across the Atlantic.
Okay.
And this is a good point, I think, to highlight the contrast
yeah.
between his preaching style and Finney's.
Okay.
Remember Finney?
Right.
The lawyerly figure.
Right.
Very direct, confrontational,
yeah.
even known for calling out individuals.
Right.
During his sermons.
Yeah.
Moody was essentially the opposite.
Yeah.
He was a natural storyteller.
Okay.
Using what our source calls homespun stories. Almost like a beloved grandfather
right.
sharing Bible lessons
right.
in a relatable way.
Okay.
But the underlying principle remained the same.
Right.
God's truth coming through personality.
Right.
So what's truly insightful here, as your materials show,
yeah.
is that there isn't one right way to connect with people.
Absolutely.
Both the fiery lawyer
yeah.
and the relatable storyteller.
Right.
could profoundly impact their audiences.
Yeah.
So it highlights the importance
right.
of authenticity and understanding your audience.
Yeah, this contrast really beautifully illustrates
right.
the diversity of approaches
right.
within evangelicalism.
Right.
And that there isn't a single mold
yeah.
for effectively communicating faith.
Right.
So Finney's more legalistic
right.
and direct style resonated with some,
right.
while Moody's warmer, narrative-driven approach
right.
connected with others.
Right.
Both were incredibly effective
yeah.
in their own ways.
Right.
And highlight the multifaceted nature
yeah.
of religious persuasion.
Okay, so upon his return to America
right.
with this really significant international acclaim,
yeah.
Moody establishes two primary centers
of okay.
his ministry. Northfield, Massachusetts,
okay.
his hometown,
yeah.
and Chicago.
Okay.
Let's begin with Northfield.
Okay.
He founded two educational institutions there.
Okay.
The Northfield Seminary for Young Women in 1879.
Okay.
And the Mount Hermon School for Boys in 1881.
Okay.
Now, the term seminary here
yeah.
doesn't mean postgraduate theological studies for
nope.
women.
Okay.
It was about providing young people,
okay.
especially women who often had limited educational opportunities
right.
at the time, with a strong foundation in Bible knowledge,
right.
Christian history and theology.
Okay.
These two schools eventually merged
okay.
to become the Northfield Mount Hermon School,
okay.
which continues to operate today.
I see.
And these educational endeavors
were yeah.
absolutely vital yeah. for shaping the future of Christian leadership
right.
and informed lay participation
right.
and providing women
right.
with theological education at this level
right.
was particularly significant for yeah. the era,
yeah.
reflecting a growing, albeit still evolving,
right.
understanding of gender roles
yeah.
and intellectual full capacity within some evangelical circles, as your source also points out, with a notable example of Oberlin College.
Right.
And Northfield also became renowned for the Northfield conferences.
Okay.
These were summer prophetic conferences that focused on the study of Bible prophecy.
Okay.
So people would gather to listen to speakers, engage in discussions about biblical predictions and their potential fulfillment.
So these conferences played a significant role in the development and spread of dispensational premillennialism.
Right.
A specific system of interpreting biblical prophecy that gained considerable traction in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
Right.
Now, your source mentions Moody wasn't a hardened dispensational premillennialist. While that's a complex theological system for another time, at its core, it involves a very specific way of interpreting the Bible through different periods or dispensations in history.
Okay. And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
From these Northfield conferences emerged the student volunteer movement.
Okay.
This was a massive missionary movement involving college and university students who committed themselves to serving as missionaries overseas.
Okay.
Our source even draws a direct line between this movement and the founding of institutions like Gordon College.
Wow.
Which began as a school specifically dedicated to training missionaries.
Okay.
So this really underscores the global impact of this era of evangelicalism.
The student volunteer movement was truly instrumental in the great wave of missionary expansion that characterized the 19th century.
Right.
It effectively channeled the energy and idealism of young people into concrete action, leading to the establishment of missionary endeavors and educational institutions across the globe.
Right.
Yeah.
Now let's touch on Moody's theological stance.
Okay.
He is identified as an American fundamentalist.
Okay.
But our source emphasizes that he held a more moderate position.
Okay.
Not a hardened dispensational premillennialist.
Right.
So while he aligned with core fundamentalist beliefs, his approach was more practical and less rigid than some of his contemporaries.
That's a crucial distinction.
Right.
Because while Moody adhered to fundamentalist tenets, his primary emphasis was on evangelism.
Yeah.
And the individual's experience of salvation.
Right.
So that made his approach more accessible.
Right.
And less focused on these strict doctrinal debates than perhaps some other figures within the fundamentalist movement.
Which leads us to his well-known lifeboat ministry analogy.
Oh, okay.
When asked about his life's work, he would often describe himself as someone rowing a lifeboat out to rescue people who were drowning in the sea.
I see.
His central focus was on the urgent need to save individuals.
This powerful analogy really encapsulates the urgency and focus of his evangelistic efforts.
Right.
He viewed humanity as being in this state of spiritual peril.
Right.
And saw his primary mission as reaching as many people as possible with this message of salvation.
Right. Moving on to Chicago.
Okay.
We can't overlook the founding of the Moody Church.
Okay.
And the Moody Bible Institute. The Moody Bible Institute in particular receives high praise in our source.
Okay.
For its very clear mission of providing Bible-centered training for ministry and missions.
Okay.
It's highlighted as an institution that knows its purpose and excels within that specific niche without trying to broaden its scope into a more general liberal arts education.
Moody Bible Institute has had a profound and lasting influence on evangelicalism through its unwavering commitment to biblical education and its training of countless individuals who've gone on to serve in various forms of ministry and missionary work.
Right.
So its clear and consistent focus has been a key factor in its enduring impact.
So as we consider both Finney and Moody, we begin to see some overarching characteristics of 19th century evangelicalism.
Okay.
Our source points out several key features.
Okay.
A strong emphasis on the Bible.
Okay.
These were fundamentally Bible teachers, Bible preachers, a central focus on revivalism and personal conversion, a transatlantic character with a constant exchange of preachers and ideas between America and England, a growing though still developing awareness of gender equality, a willingness to engage with social issues as seen in the abolitionist movement, the fundamental importance of preaching, and a strong commitment to evangelism. Both Finney and Moody were, in essence, public theologians and public preachers whose names were widely recognized and who exerted significant influence on the broader culture.
Yeah, these characteristics paint a vivid picture of a dynamic and influential movement that not only shaped the religious landscape of the 19th century, but also had a significant impact on the social and cultural fabric of the time. So this emphasis on personal conversion, the authority of Scripture, and active engagement with the world were defining features.
So as we bring this deep dive to a close, it's worth reflecting once more on that initial assessment of Meaty, spiritually dark applicant, deemed unlikely to ever be of much use. It stands in stark contrast to the extraordinary impact he ultimately had.
It really does. It speaks volumes about the potential for profound personal transformation and the often unpredictable ways in which individuals can shape history and exert such significant influence.
So for you, the listener, as you consider Meaty's journey from those unlikely beginnings to such a significant legacy, what does this tell us about the potential that might be overlooked or underestimated in others, perhaps even within ourselves? It certainly prompts reflection on the transformative power of perseverance and the unexpected paths that individuals can take. And this deep dive, we hope, has provided you with a richer understanding of a complex and fascinating historical period.
Absolutely.
And the remarkable life of D.L. Moody.
Right.
And we invite you to further explore these enduring themes of faith, social change, and the lasting influence of individuals.
Excellent.
So until the next deep dive, happy reflecting.